Welcome, everybody, to the Square and Compass podcast. This is Cameron Adamson with another guest, very worshipful brother, Joe Haran. Thank you so much for coming out.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for asking me.
So we are filming this just before we start one of the busy seasons in Masonry. Rose Lodge, your mother lodge, is coming up to its installation in December. Excited for that?
Absolutely. It's always very exciting seeing the officers progress. And it's a time when there's a change in the lodge, and new ideas can be brought forward, and old ones reconfirmed, and it's always an exciting time of year.
We're also coming out on we're almost done, the busy season for Scottish Rite, of which you're very actively involved in.
Yep.
We're just here, we just finished off a practice for the 18th degree.
Yep.
Excited for that?
Always excited for the degrees in Scottish Rite, especially the 18th. That's the highest degree that we do down here in town, and it always happens at this time.
That's right. Well, we'll just take a few moments to talk to Bon. Yeah. Say hi, Bon.
Hi.
He's being interviewed next, so stick around. We'll check him out. Luckily, we can edit this out afterwards.
I'll call you back.
So it all works out.
All right.
We got editing.
Okay.
Oh, that brings me into something I wanted to talk to you about, and that actually works out well. You are, one of the most active Masons in our district. You definitely work very hard, but you also balance that out with, your dental practice, with personal commitments. You just had a phone call now. How do you balance it all? Because
you got to stay really organized. It forces you to be very organized in your professional career and to balance it out. When I come here, it is, when you're coming to lodge, you're coming into a room of like-minded people. You're coming into a room of friends. Compared to what you do in your daily life, it should be very relaxing. It should be like yoga, right? This is where we come to meditate. This is where we come to share our experiences. You know what, we're coming through the busy season of the installations and the end of the Scottish Rite degrees. Those are just things. And sometimes I view them as a moment where I get to meet with my fellow Masons. And there's always, there's work to be done, but there's always a chance for that interaction and that social aspect, which is very important. It's almost like an excuse to reconnect. So it's, everybody's busy. Our most valuable asset is time for most of us. And it's where do you wanna allocate that precious commodity of time? And what value do you see in coming here a couple of times a month, right? And sure, we're learning something, but it's the brotherhood, it's the fraternity that's very important to keep stable in your daily life.
If anybody can hear that, that's Vaughn eating popcorn back there. We can edit that too. It's very well said, though. Very well said. And I agree. I think, if you are organized and you do allocate your time well, you can find a way to fit in, your Masonic duties amongst everything else. And you'd be an example of that, certainly.
Well, you have to kind of pick and choose, right? Because you can't do everything. It's impossible. And then, just like in life, you have to prioritize. I think once you get more and more involved, right? You should be able to, at this point, we're all grown men, prioritize what we do in this building or in this organization as well. Everybody wants to help. But when we stretch ourselves too thin, personally, and we stretch the organization out too thin, it helps nobody. Right? So there's got to be a balance in everything. Right? So
that's very true. We talk about that in our degrees, right? In the first degree, that's discussed.
That's right. Some of your lectures.
Do you, you know, in your day-to-day life, do you, or how do the, do you think back to lectures at all in different moments? Do you find that masonry will pop up in your life in unexpected ways? Or how does it pop up
daily
in your life outside of this building and this Masonic temple?
Daily. Masonry forces you to think a different way. If you don't have a background in philosophy or history or anything. I come from a very scientific, analytical background. And I believe that I'm getting more out of masonry than most people. Because it asks you to look at moral issues, look at historical issues differently. And it gives you, let's say it gives you occasion to do further research. That a lot of times in our education that we've never been exposed to. So I think it like I deal one-on-one with people all day. I think masonry helps me with, you know, just treating the human condition, being human, trying to be better, not just as a man, but in our community and in anything that we do every day. So I think I benefit in many different ways, and just exposure to certain concepts that are introduced to you in masonry can help you, especially if you haven't had any formal training in some of those arts and humanities at a post-secondary level. It's basically a master's degree in philosophy.
When did you join masonry?
Maybe 12 years ago.
So
13, 14 years ago.
Yeah, it goes by quick. I had to think yesterday when I joined.
Yeah.
Did you, had you always been interested in masonry?
Never. I was forced to become a mason.
Well, the better for us, I suppose, better for this lodge. How were you forced to become a mason?
My ex-wife, her family was very involved Masonically and had a long tradition of Masons in the family in Europe. Throughout the Austro-Hungarian Empire, her grandfathers and uncles were all initiated in France and at the Sorbonne. And she wanted to keep that tradition alive for her son. And that's how I had no clue what I was getting into. Nothing. And it was just to keep the tradition alive in her family. And it's probably one of the best things that I've ever done.
It's always amazing to me, you know, masonry is like a boat is something. Everybody comes onto it for different reasons. But whatever the reasons are that got you on there, once you're on there, you're all going the same direction. Or at least you hope to all be going the same direction.
Absolutely.
You know? So masonry outlasted your marriage, it sounds like.
Yeah, it did.
What advice would you have? And you're actually, I think, a very good person to ask this question too, based on how you joined. You know, what advice do you have for people who are interested in masonry or just starting out? You know, they're just beginning in their Masonic journey. They don't know what to expect or what masonry holds for them. What type of advice do you have for those people?
Be patient. Masonry teaches you patience. be attentive, become active, and that's it, and see if it's a fit for you.
Do you think, you talk about seeing if it's a fit for somebody, do you think guys can sometimes jump in too quickly, like put in an application before they had a chance maybe to meet with some brethren? Not necessarily do research, because it's always, I think, more fun to learn as you go, but really taking the time to think about, do they have the time to commit? Do they have the true desire, or is it just...
It's not up to them. You, until you've joined, you don't know. I do believe, in the least, the investigating committee that meets with you should let you know, this is what we do, this is what we're about, and here's what will be expected of you. It's not like you join and you can write. You can, but you're going to be very unhappy. To make it a more pleasurable and enjoyable experience, here's what we expect of you, and this is why. I don't think it's the candidate's responsibility to find out about us. I think we should be better at letting them know what's expected of them. Because there are certain expectations unwritten of our candidates. And will they be a fit? Will they be a fit for us? Sometimes we're too eager to bring in new people to the craft without kind of discussing, are they right for us? Are they ready? Is it better that maybe they wait? I think it's more our responsibility as a lodge, as a craft, as a body, to make sure that the applicant is informed. You can try to do your own research, but you know, until you hear it from somebody that's been involved in it, then you really don't know. You can do all that stuff beforehand as well, but I think it's a lot of times, you know, we have people start and then they disappear, right? It's not the candidate's fault, it's our fault. We have nobody to blame but ourselves.
So if you were on an investigative committee, what is the one piece of information, what do you think is the most important piece of advice you would give to that prospective candidate?
There will be work. You will be challenged. You will find out why it might not make sense to start. But you will be challenged, and you are going to possibly have some personal hurdles to overcome. It's very rewarding when you do overcome some of those challenges that are presented to you when you first join.
I like that answer a lot. There will be work. I think that's something that is not explained.
There are expectations of you. Some of these, let's call them examinations, right? They're there for a reason. They're there, they give you their learning tools for the candidate, for the aspirant. But they're also a way of the brethren to observe them and see what their commitment is and see what their capability is. We do not have the same capabilities, and which is okay. So this way, the elders of the lodge can find a place for them. We're all part of the machine. And every person is important, no matter what the role is. And in the grand scheme, we all have very tiny roles.
No small jobs. There's no such thing as small jobs.
No. No. And all the jobs are small when you look at the big picture.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Even something that bothers me a lot in masonry, or has been bothering me a lot, is guys will say, guys won't attend lodge unless they have work to do. So if it's a degree and we have work, a lot of times what I'll hear is, I don't have any work to do that night. But to me, just showing up and attending is still an important job, because it shows
Absolutely.
A candidate, you know, it shows a candidate that you care for them and that you're willing to give up your time to see them go through.
Yes, you know, if you can attend, attendance is the most important thing. It's not doing a lecture, it's just being present and supporting each other.
I agree 100%.
And, you know, every lodge has its own kind of style, and it has its own little vibe. What I like to promote is, there's two parts to the meeting. The first part is when we run the business meeting or run a degree. The second part, which is just as equally important, is the social aspect factor, no matter what it is. And equal value should be put on the social aspect as well as the work that's done in the lodge. Some people enjoy doing the work, find it challenging and everything, and they'll show up when they have something to do. And then the other aspect, they don't enjoy as much. So then there's something for everybody. And no less value should be put on the small jobs or the little tasks than somebody doing the big lecture. They're all equally important.
Something that, you know, I've been struggling with, and this is just my opinion on masonry and the way the craft is going, is, you know, the rule you always hear is, you know, work, family, masonry, or family, work, masonry, right? But in whatever the order is, masonry is always the third one, as the usual. The usual list. And I worry that list, that set of priorities, that worked well when, you know, masonry was in its heyday in the 50s and you saw the massive increase. It seems like, though, the way the world is changing, the way work is taking up more and more of people's time, the way family commitments are taking up more and more time, it seems like unless there's a way to, you know, have masonry come first for more people, it's just not sufficient time. If work and family always comes first, then lodge will never come first. Or do you think that, like you talked about earlier, if people are organized and take the time to dedicate themselves, they can fit it all in, even if masonry is, you know, third on the list of priorities?
It should be third on your list. Your family comes first, then your work, then masonry. If you are not comfortable with your family situation or your work situation, how can lodge be relaxing? You have to make sure that everything there is in a safe place, is comfortable before you can come to lodge with an open mind, ready to learn and relax. So unless the family and your avocation is good, I don't know if you're going to be any help for the lodge.
Do you think that, or how do you think masonry will, I talked about how it was in the 1950s. That was kind of its heyday. The two biggest heydays in terms of attendance and in terms of just membership seem to be the 20s and the 50s. But everything changes over time. How do you, you know, here we are 70 years later, thereabouts. How do you see Masonry changing in the future? Do you think it will change? Do you think it's going to, obviously Masonry, right, we use the metaphor of stonework a lot. The whole point of that is stone doesn't change.
Well,
it's more solid.
It's the oldest institution. Why should it change? Has it changed? I don't think there should be any change. I think the principles that it stands on are strong enough that no matter what time it's in existence, it will be a foundation for people, and people will seek it. I don't think it needs to change. Sometimes people look for stability. It's attractive to people that it's unchangeable, because everything else in our lives is changing. I don't think Masonry needs to change. I don't think that we should be so desperate to change, because I don't think we need to be so.
Do you think, are there elements of, so when we talk about Masonry, that can be like an all-encompassing term. Certainly, for example, electronic media, social media is relatively new. Mm-hmm. Certainly, like you said, it's 300 years old. That's a new phenomenon. Podcasts, talking to Masons about their experiences and then sharing those experiences in ways other than just written or printed media is changing.
Well, that's...
Do you think Masonry could embrace those aspects more? Or do you worry that with everybody else doing it, that's one thing that sets Masonry apart, is that it... Is it maybe embracing social media and stuff?
Well, I used to get my notice by regular mail. Now I get it by email. There's the certain technologies make things more convenient, but there's no reason for the message to change. The delivery method, I don't think, matters. But the message shouldn't.
What would you describe as... I think everybody gets a different message from Masonry. But if you could condense it, or if you thought, what would you say is the message that you believe Masonry gives to its members and gives to the world at large?
That's in the first degree. Brotherly love, relief, and truth. That's it. No more, no less.
Certainly the world could use a lot more of those things nowadays, watching the news. So thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're running off to Toronto. Is it for a dental thing or
no?
There's always
for work.
This guy's always doing something. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. We are going to be filming these uploading these every Sunday at 6 p.m. at the Square and Compass YouTube channel. If you guys would be so kind as to like and subscribe to these videos, that way you'll be informed of all the content, all the new content we're providing. And also, if you go to patreon.com, you can become a Patreon subscriber to Square and Compass and get exclusive content not available on the YouTube channel. Joe, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Cameron.
Thank you so much.